Bondi Tunes, North American correspondents Dawn Drast in Florida and Thomas Booker in Texas are a bit zoned out from the total eclipse of that very strange country called the United States, not to mention being all trumped up. Oh dear.
Rock and roll.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes, international broadcasting on FM in parts of Australia and New Zealand, and we welcome our listeners across the globe on various platforms. My name's Henry, I'm in Sydney, and I'm joined by Dawn Drast, our North America correspondent in Orlando, Florida, and Thomas Booker, another Hi. North America correspondent. He's in San Antonio de Bayar in Texas.
Yeehaw!
Oh, I'm exhausted after that intro. Now, I know you guys are probably high from the total eclipse of the sun or the moon. I can never work this out. But look, we'll talk about that later. We've got interesting things to talk about. Dawn, you mentioned Trump's Truth Social shares are going down the toilet, erasing billions of dollars in value. What's going on with this?
Oh, well, like everything Trump touches, it essentially turns into cow patties.
Not gold, clearly.
Like everything he has, it's gold plated, not real gold. His Trump Media and Technology Group, which is the company behind Truth Social, lost an additional 8% on Monday, which is after losing 12% on Friday. So it has lost 20% of its valuation just over the weekend.
Are there companies leaving, like big players, big advertisers leaving, or were they there in the first place?
No, there's no big players there. It is all hardcore right wingers. It's like Alec Jones's InfoWars kind of stuff. The MyPillow guy. It's Trump selling his sneakers at a deep discount, now selling his Bibles with Lee Greenwood.
He's selling Bibles?
He is selling Bibles for $60.
Do either of you have a pillow or a Bible?
Not one for Trump, I'll tell you that.
Not one that I'd get from either of them. Even before I knew that the MyPillow guy had been a drug addict, I thought he looked like addict.
Is he?
He was. My mother is a big fan of home shopping. And for a while he was on QVC, and they would plug his pillows on that for a long time.
What's QVC?
It's an
online
shopping,
network.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
And he would be on there just grabbing his pillows like a prom date that's just struggling to get away. And he would be on there just fondling the ever-loving crap out of his pillows. And
it's all very weird and strange.
This is like... Donna, it sounds he like a Pepe Le Pew cartoon where the cat tries
that's
to get...
That's it. But he always looked squirrely as heck. And I always wonder, I remember just looking at my mother and I'm like, that dude's on drugs. And she was like, well, there's something wrong with him. And she's like, I don't know if he's on drugs. She was like, they wouldn't have him on QVC if he was on drugs. And I'm like...
Yeah,
they wouldn't necessarily know, would they? And he at some point admitted he tried to talk about how he was on cocaine and that he was trying to keep his cocaine addiction at bay. But it never went away entirely. And then he goes, and then I got into crack cocaine. And then he lost his marriage, his house, and he almost lost his business. And most recently, his entire warehouse got repossessed. So now he doesn't even have his warehouse for his pillows. So now he's probably sleeping on his pillows behind an alley trying to sell them for crack. And that's probably a good reason that Donald Trump's Truth Social is tanking because, yeah, he has that's probably a big one of his sponsors, because Mike Lindell is the one that has been his one of his biggest proponents. I mean, for goodness sakes, he put out that big, ridiculous, stupid movie that he was like, I've got the proof. I have all the proof. And it was just like dot matrix printer feeds of like ones and zeros. And occasionally it would just say like cat or dog in there. And he was like, see, it's telling me things. And I'm like, yeah, it says cat. It was ridiculous. It's lost over $58 million.
Yes, I've just seen that in a post that you sent me with NPR, which is a wonderful website. I must say, it's a very good
news
website. Thomas, what's your take on all this? Because you know, I got to let you get a word in.
Yes, sorry. I can tell you so much about all of his friends are losers. Just like
Don is just exuding credibility here. That's going to be kind of.
I can tell you all the drugs his friends are on.
It's really getting, to me, it's getting scary. It's really getting more scary than it has been in quite a while with Donald Trump, because the Supreme Court appears to be backing him. And they're meddling with his the indictments, and they're meddling with his. As a matter of fact, the Attorney General of the United States has sent a scathing letter to the Supreme Court, listing all of the violations that they and accusations against Trump and the validity of them, and I think he'll obliquely accusing the Supreme Court of favoring him. I think it's the opening challenge to them, and this is this would be a constitutional crisis if it turns out that we have to hold the Supreme Court accountable and convict them of being favoritism to Donald Trump, and basically engaging in a political endorsement of Donald Trump by virtue of the fact that they can waive off all of the prosecution that he's facing. And this is not a good it's not a good thing.
Where are we at generally speaking? I mean, you've got the federal election coming up in November. Yes. Which is not that far away.
No, it isn't.
How is it looking for Joe Biden at the moment?
Not so hot.
Yeah, I was honestly hoping when that scathing letter went in, I was hoping that it was going to call for the impeachment of the Supreme Court members.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see that. No, I would
that
like to see
had that. Been appointed by Trump at the very least, and certainly yes. Clarence Thomas, because his wife participated in the funding of the January 6th insurrection.
Correct. But unfortunately, you can't indict or impeach the Supreme Court unless you have a majority in the Senate and House. And right now we don't have that. We're all like 50-50 split government between the Repugs and the Democrats. So you're not going to be able to succeed in having a two-thirds majority impeachment of any of the Supreme Court. That's also depressing.
It would be the first time that a public official would have called for it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking. Well, okay, I don't want to say what I'm thinking because it's not. The only thing I can see is an extreme solution is to basically go in. I think the members of Congress who are obstructionists, obstructing the government, and especially obstructing our foreign affairs and obstructing our ability to support Ukraine, ought to be arrested en masse as traitors, frankly. Sorry to say that. And I think the Supreme Court ought to be brought forth and accused of treason. And I think that would be a real lot of fun in the United States, because that would be a huge catastrophe.
It won't happen, of course, sadly.
It wouldn't. No, sadly. Of course not.
I just want to get back to the President of the United States with regards to international politics and You will be aware that I interviewed an embedded reporter in the Gaza Strip 2 weeks
yes,
ago.
Yes, you did. Henry, and that was a brilliant interview, by the way.
It was really wonderful.
Thank you. And also our own Bondi Tunes international correspondent near Tel Aviv in Israel to get a balanced view. Now, I feel that Joe Biden, I'm trying to think of the right term for this. He's really not pushing it enough. Let's face it, Britain and America are pumping finance into arms in Israel. And I just think that, you know, there's something wrong in my brain about the fact that that Biden is just pussyfooting around. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, well, I think what it is, Biden is walking a tightrope. And mainly because he has to have Jewish support. He has to have Jewish American citizens supporting him. And if he tends to be critical and denunciatory of Netanyahu, he's going to get in trouble politically. And if he supports Netanyahu and says nothing about the wanton destruction of Gaza, there are people in the United States who are very infuriated with him, that he's allowing mass slaughter visited upon Gaza by Israel, which is really happening. And the whole thing goes back to an appalling, we have just every example we can that Netanyahu is an incompetent goon.
He's also very dangerous.
He's very dangerous. Yeah. He's a very dangerous man, and Israel needs to dump him. And
it's interesting, all the protests against Netanyahu in his own state. And it's, you know, as I said to one of our correspondents, I think I said it to El Halulu, who is a BBC embedded reporter in the Gaza Strip. I said, really, you know, where is this going? You know, like, this whole financing of Israel, and as you say, Thomas, it is walking this kind of line that he's got to please the Jews. And of course, America needs Israel because it's their little post to keep control in the Middle East.
We need Israel when it's a competent military asset in that region. But right now, Netanyahu has proved to be a complete and utter bumbling idiot from the get-go all the way to the October 7th breach of the border with Gaza, which that's another long story. I'll be happy to detail it, but we can, you know, proceed on with other issues.
I don't want to do a Michael Moore on you guys, but is it possible that Trump could win in November?
It is, yes. It is. No, it's very serious.
I mean, everything's possible.
It's possible.
I should have said, Dawn, is it probable?
It is. I fear that we could face... No, what I fear is that we could face another situation like we had with Hillary Clinton, where she will get more... where Biden will get more popular votes... But the Electoral College will vote for Trump.
Oh, that right. Pesky
and
Electoral
even,
College.
And even if there's a situation where Biden gets both, I fear they may not give him the election, even if he has won it fairly.
Yes,
because they
the Congress,
fear there
yes.
will be another January 6th situation
yes.
that
yes.
people will come in and riot again and try to storm the Capitol because... they feel that the election will have been stolen a second time from Trump.
Yes.
Gosh.
No, this
and
is
I
scary.
Fear that this time they're just going to put him in and let him destroy America. And that is exactly what he is going to do.
Thomas?
He has said that is his plan.
Hang on, Henry. This is really depressing.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, but no, it's
sorry. Sorry, hang
thank
on.
Thank you for opening it.
Are you having a beer?
Yes. It should be appearing on your desk.
Yep,
here.
I've got it. I've got it.
Okay,
it's arrived.
Good.
Thank
all
you
right.
so
because
much.
Because he has said that he's not doing this. He fully intends to appoint people for the expressed intent of getting revenge on people that he feels have wronged him.
Oh yes, he's gonna identify enemies in the United States, people who opposed him, and also any kind of block, any kind of organized opposition. From, you know,
hell, a beer showed up in my desk. Thank you. Oh, that's the kind of night it is, gentlemen.
I got plenty, Dawn, and I'm willing to share. Or, you know, you have to understand. But it's yeah.
And I don't even drink. That's the kind of night we're having.
I know. Yeah. Let's toss them back, folks.
You know what? Let's talk about Chechnya, shall we? Don Drost in Florida, Ronan C. Greg in Winnipeg, and Thomas Booker in Texas are on Bondi Tunes International. If you have just joined us, I'm Henry from Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. I'm talking with Dawn Drost in Orlando, Florida, and Thomas Booker in Texas.
Yeehaw!
And we must do that, yes.
I was going to ask how many beers you'd had since you had to pause that long before you said it.
And he's been up, and he's been up 14 hours or something, yeah. Or 20 or whatever it is. Yeah. Now I don't know. Why have you been up that long? Thomas.
I had to get up in the wee hours of the morning to drive to Ingram, Texas, where there's an art compound. It's a Hill Country Art Foundation who opened up their property to parking for observing the total eclipse.
Yes.
And that was a major serious righteous experience.
Yes. Yes. The last one I had totality here at my house. This time we only got like 57%. So, yes, absolute. Okay. Well, worth the drive.
Well, mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this total eclipse soon, but I want to talk about.
Are we going to talk about Bonnie Tyler too? Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah, listen. You know what, Dawn?
Play
Drost,
that. You have to play that.
I have it already lined up.
Thank you.
You and I have been thinking on the same level. I don't know what's going on here, because that's the second time you've thought the same thing as me at the same time. We've got to talk about Chechnya. The Russian state of Chechnya is banning all music deemed too fast. I can't do this. Deemed too fast or too slow. What the hell? Have they got nothing else to do in Chechnya?
I have a Russian song that I wanted to send because it is, it's not even too fast or too slow. It's just a guy going... It is one of the most popular songs to ever come out of Russia. And I just thought, this is what they're banning. They are banning Vitas and the Seventh Element. That is specifically what they're banning.
Well, the question is, why? I mean, why? Does anyone know?
The reasons are totally bizarre. It makes no sense whatsoever, but they want to have, they have a specific... it's catching up with you.
It's a hard word, Thomas.
Right now it is. It's a specific tempo range, and they specify the 80 to 160 beats per minute, some kind of weird specification for the rhythm and the music. And this is now the other thing that I'm confused about. And Chechnya was carrying out a revolution against, an armed revolt against Russia, and Chechens were at some time back, even in, this is under Putin, they were bombing venues in Russia and assassinating officials, and there was a whole Chechen revolution going on, and I don't understand why after that they're apparently Islamic. They adhere to is a version of Islamic religion, but all of a sudden, this is what they're worried about. It's reminding me eerily of Afghanistan and these arbitrary rules being applied to the populace, and especially I'm wondering if they're going to be going after women there too, in terms of removing their rights. But it's really kind of a weird, spooky.
How can they enforce this? I mean, the ban will mean that many songs, I read from CNN, the ban will mean that many songs in musical styles such as pop and techno will be banned.
Yes, oh, definitely.
Now, how can they enforce this with the internet and, you know, young folks in downtown Chechnya are... How are they going to stop them watching YouTube? Or do they? Or can they? Well, they can, but do they restrict the likes of YouTube and Facebook? Oh, I know they restrict Facebook.
Mm-hmm. All the popular music apps and dancing apps that they have. What's the hip hop thing that they do now in China? It's hot all over the rest of the planet, but if a country wants to control its internet resources, it can, apparently. I mean, I think Russia filters their internet access very carefully. And I would think Citizens TikTok is what I'm thinking about.
Yes,
sorry.
TikTok.
I mean,
yes.
It's been too late. I'm sure they're going to ban that in such a way. They're going to try to block that. They can do it.
There's also been reports in Chechnya of waves of violence against gay men. Now, in early 2017, the United Nations human rights experts urged authorities to investigate allegations that gay men were being targeted and detained, and local media reported that some had been murdered for their sexuality. I mean, things are not all going hunky-dory in Chechnya, and they're worried about music. I mean, really?
Unfortunately, that happens everywhere.
It's happening in Uganda.
That happens in so many countries, unfortunately. But the music thing is just a quirky, ridiculous thing that they can try to ban. But how can you? It's almost like the Kevin Bacon movie Footloose. The town that banned music. Good luck. They're gonna be in their homes. They're gonna be in businesses and schools, and they're going to hum to themselves. They're going to have
you can't stop music in a person's head, you know.
Yes, they're going to have their phones and their headsets that they listen to, and unless you go through and start ripping them out of everybody's hands and deleting everything and blocking every song off of people's devices, you're not going to be able to stop it unless you go into every single person's home and destroy every CD, every tape, every LP that they may have. They're going to have music. Music survives because of the way that it is shared and enjoyed and passed, and it is a commonality that people enjoy, and that is not something they are going to be able to stomp out. And if that is how they think they are going to get through and get conformity within their community, that is the wrong way to go about doing it with their young people. If they're worried about TikTok like they are here, again, there are better ways to do it than saying, hey, we're going to stop your music, because that seems very archaic and poorly thought out.
Another wave of anti-LGBTQI persecution was reported in January 2019, when activists said dozens of men and women were detained and at least two died in custody. I mean, I feel so awful for these people. I mean,
there are places like Uganda has been passing anti-LGBT laws, and homosexuality is now a crime punishable by death. And these backlashes are happening all over the planet.
Other countries even, I believe, isn't Bali a country where you're not supposed to be openly homosexual?
I wouldn't be surprised. Well,
Just to explain to people who may not know, Bali's a Hindu island. The religion is Hindu, whereas the rest of Indonesia are Muslim. And it's a beautiful place. I've been there many times. It's not far from Australia, obviously. I have heard something, Dawn, in the news about the whole gay thing in Bali, but I'm not across it. But of course, in mainland Indonesia, they've got a real problem with that,
Yeah. So there's a number of places around the world where these kinds of atrocities occur. It is a shame when, as a parent to a child that is a member of the community, Mm-hmm. It breaks my heart when anybody from the LGBTQ community is persecuted for simply being who they are.
And we were talking about limitations in these countries like Chechnya, China, and, you know, Russia. Now, interestingly enough, we are now broadcasting across Russia on a major...
Really?
Yes, we are on a major media
then
hub.
Then do better.
We're on the second biggest media hub in the world across Russia. Now, this is to your points about the fact that, you know, these countries are trying to restrict people listening. And these young Russians, I mean, they watch YouTube. They're learning English with an American accent because they're watching YouTube all the time.
From Bondi Beach in Sydney to the world, Bondi Tunes International.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Dawn Drost and Thomas Booker. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. Well, now, there's been a total eclipse of the heart. No, not the heart. Not the heart. Let's not go there. There's been a total eclipse of the sun or the moon.
Turn Someone around, tell bright me. Eyes. What?
There has been a total eclipse across, not across, but sort of from South to North America on the left side. Sorry, on the right side. Is that right?
It's running up the center. It was running through
kind
Texas.
Kind of the center, and then it curved way up across the...
To New York.
The right side. Yeah.
Did you guys saw this?
Thomas drove to where I guess he had a full-on view.
Yes. But my little radio piece I've done, two radio pieces about my growing up in Kernville, as you recall. But I went, it was kind of like a pilgrimage to go check it out. But
were there clear skies, Thomas?
No, this was
that's a pain in the ass.
It was overcast as hell. And so, but there are periodic breaks in the clouds. And I recorded the audio of the whole experience. And I don't know how to parse it. But anyway, there was a heavy cloud cover. And I got there and I said, oh God, this is going to be such a bust. And everybody settled in. There was like almost under 1,000 people who were in this area. And there were many others, Kernville properly. And I was in Ingram, Texas at the Hill Country Art Foundation, where my sister, by the way, acted on. They have a theater there where she acted. But that's a plug for Ollie.
Good old Ollie, yep.
Yeah. But anyway. So I got there. I didn't think much was going to happen. I set up my cameras, and I tried using an iPad to go in time-lapse mode to try to capture. But it was hard as hell for me to line the stupid thing up because I couldn't get a good clear image because of the clouds. But when the time came, and it was a large number of people there. When the time came and they began to, there was a radio station, actually a local radio station. I can't believe there was a FM station, doing the mellow rock in Kernville they were playing music all over the place and everything. And they promised that when it got to totality, they would cut the music and it would be silence.
It was a good experience, Thomas.
Oh, it was, because by the time it was, the culmination was, everybody was expecting, it was frustrating to see the moon popping in and out of in between the clouds, but when it reached totality, that was turning out to be a major righteous experience.
I bet. And, kind of spiritual in a way.
The whole crowd there, I mean, they were just like, basically what you got to see was the moon completely obscuring the sun and the outer atmosphere of the sun's shining through the moon. So there were all these little irregularities of brightness coming through that were the mountains, literally the mountains of the moon.
I'll
be hoping to offer some photographs. I mean, I have to go crunch all the stuff that I was taking, but it was really, I mean, it got dark. It got dark at noon.
Very strange.
Yes, it's weird,
Dawn, did you actually see this yourself? And I know that your son Everett, it was kind of a school project for him.
Yes, they went outside because when it was at the peak for us, was his science class.
Mm-hmm. That's very so good timing.
It was. So they went outside and they had gotten glasses and made little viewing boxes. So he took the picture with his phone.
Cool.
And one of the sky and one through the little viewing box. The pictures
are high quality. They're excellent.
I know. Yeah. And that was just his phone. And unfortunately, he lost his regular glasses because he had on his viewing glasses. So that was not the best experience. But no, I did not see it because I did not have anything special. I couldn't find my box from the last time because the previous one where Trump looked up at the sun like a moron.
Yeah.
It was moronic. It was moronic. We had totality here at the house for that one, and I got to experience that, and the kids were in virtual school at the time, so we had made it the boxes that NASA had like provided plans on how to do it, and we made a project out of it, and we went outside and we stood out there and looked at it and freaked out. The dog acted really weird.
Yes, it turned
nighttime. But I was inside because my dog started to act strange. And I have a dog that is very weird with weather events, and he was not at all comfortable with it during the entire period. So I stayed inside with him.
And they call this the path of totality. And I wanted to talk about animals because, you know, this eclipse is making news around the world, including here in Australia. Mm. And, you know, animals do react very strangely. I've seen some footage on TV about this. It must really be confusing for the poor animals who don't know about this. Well,
what was going on mainly to me? They had.
What about your dog, Thomas?
Well, yeah, I wanted to bring my dog with me, but that was going to be too problematic. Poor thing, she had to stay in the house all day for the. But I noticed that people had their dogs out there, and I was thinking that the dogs were responding to the darkness. But basically, what was happening when it started to get to totality and the whole group. You know, we're going, like that. And the dogs were going, because all the people, I don't think it was because of the totality. I think it was because the dogs were hearing all the people go,
no,
kind of
nothing.
They were howling along with them.
Nothing was happening here. The house was quiet, but they still started howling.
Really?
Amazing. My two still started howling. Because I got the two that I have now because I'm not going to call him a gentleman because he was not that. Mm-hmm. He posted online that he was going to throw them in the street if someone didn't come get them in 24 hours. So that's how I ended up with what is a Mastiff Boxer mix. And a purebred English English bulldog. So I have just this big bowling ball and just this gigantic thing. And the big boy, he had been chained up outside his entire life.
Oh God!
Wow. And he had been in hurricanes, and he had been left out in every. Thunderstorm in Florida gets horrific thunderstorms every day.
Yes,
lots
they
of
do.
Lightning. He had been left outside for every animal to come bite at him, pick at him, attack him. And he is terrified of
I'm not surprised.
The outside, the nighttime. He's afraid of the dark. He's afraid of weather variations. He likes butterflies. But this did not.
He likes butterflies.
He likes butterflies.
That's nice.
This did not. So he was very jittery, and that made his brother jittery because they came from the same gentleman. So that he reacted. Bowling ball, we call him the potato. The potato reacted to Big Boy, and So we just kind of kept him calm. And
I want to talk about. the spiritualism of all this. You know, I keep on thinking of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the 1977 Spielberg movie, and and the look in everyone's eyes. Yeah, that's the one, Thomas. And the look in everyone's, the look of wonder as a spaceship comes down, and you know, the brilliant music in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and looking at footage of Americans, you know, with all their cameras and everything that you've experienced, Thomas, where you went, is there a sense that you, you know, they say a full moon and you go a bit mad. I'm not sure I should be going down this road.
No, you should. You should.
Is there a sense of wonderness? Is there a sense of spiritualism? You know, a reporter here in Australia noted that America, you know, really is having a lot of problems. It's very divided, of course. And this was kind of bringing everyone together. Even the MAGA supporters. Do you reckon everyone should start hugging each other now?
No, as a matter of fact, Don, if you heard the thing about Marjorie Taylor Greene and her association with the eclipse was a sign from God that we have to find our moral compass, which of course is her ultimately conservative.
It made me laugh.
My grandkid was wandering around the camp. This thing was spread over a pretty large area, and he walked by and he heard a group that was forming a circle and making a prayer group. And I tried to go over there with my recorder to catch it to see if I could, you know, but I was too late to do that. But in general, no. The group was international. They were from New Mexico, and they were from New York, and there were some people from Germany and there was a guy from Eastern European, just all kinds of other people. Matter of fact, they would walk by and be interviewed by the guy who was running the radio station there as live interviews. But it was an eclectic group, and it was not anything else but just everybody. Once the thing really got underway and it got serious, and we actually got to totality, it was. The whole crowd was just like, you know, this is really weird. This is, you know, amazing. This and they were astonished and amazed and moved. And there wasn't any, you know, necessarily any tears or anything like that. It was just really all of a sudden they realized they're living in a universe. And everybody was suddenly. And when the cloud parted and we actually got to see the totality and the Bailey's beads and the glow from around the annulus of the moon. It was so every time it peeked out from the clouds, the whole crowd would applaud and go wow. And I got all that recorded, but I don't know what to do with it.
I'm getting 1969 Woodstock in my head here.
It was kind of like a Woodstock sort. Yeah, it was kind of Woodstocky. Yeah.
And so everyone stops. So everyone stops fighting for the total eclipse of the. Moon,
the
sun,
moon.
Heart, whatever.
All of it.
And then it finishes and everyone starts killing each other again. Is that the way it
works? No, this group was very, they were very passive, very mellow and very pleasant. It was really wonderful there. And the people who put this thing on were geniuses about how they handled bringing the crowd onto the property and controlling, you know, everybody's setup. It was the only thing that really bothered me was there's this one guy who was doing barbecue. They had a bunch of food stands. They did a whole thing like it was a festival. And this guy had this huge grill, this barbecue grill. And it looked like it was a 5-foot diameter tube that was painted blue and it had flanges on it. It looked like something that came off the oil field. That he repurposed into a barbecue grill, and he was serving barbecue from it. And I took a couple of photos of it because I was just wondering do people really want to be eating barbecue from this monster?
They would.
Yeah, did it? You know, heavy? Did it have heavy metals in it that was getting into the meat?
Sorry. But, he's probably assuming the fire kills all the dangerous
stuff. Yeah. I did not get barbecue from that place. But otherwise, no, it was a festival, and it was festive, and it was wonderful. And when the time came, there was a whole collective group feeling of awe and astonishment and marvel. And it was pleasant. I enjoyed it.
So no shock, just awe. It's interesting to me. I was just talking about something similar to my girlfriend this morning, our time, and I was just kind of thinking, if people came from another planet, not people, but, you know, entities from another planet,
yes,
and decided to be, you know, nasty with us, we'd all suddenly stop fighting each other and we'd come together and fight them. You know, I'm sure that would happen. It's human nature, surely.
Yeah, but we wouldn't last long because they would.
I know that.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't take long until. I don't know if you remember the. I don't know if you got it in Australia, the early '80s television series V.
Yes.
Where aliens did come down to Earth, and it did not take long before people who were fighting each other. Slowly, there were people who started siding with the aliens so that they could get in good with the aliens.
They factionalized.
And then there were so that they wouldn't get eaten. And then there were like freedom fighters who were trying to fight the aliens and save the planet. And it was.
I do remember I
was like 4 or 5 when that came out.
Yeah.
It was
scary.
You watch it, Thomas? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And
I loved it. I still watch it whenever it comes on.
You can always get it on YouTube, I'm sure.
But it was an analogy to a fascist takeover. It was basically the aliens. They were basically, because as the things evolved, they started organizing the humans in, you know, ranks and organizations, and you know, the rebels were.
The freedom fighters.
The freedom fighters were to be despised and had to be eliminated, and they had to take the fellow humans to go find them and root them out and expose them so the aliens could annihilate them. So, and it was following. They wound up having uniforms and all the other stuff. It was like
they were red and very Nazi.
You know what? You guys are blowing it for me. I'm going to go with Steven Spielberg and the Happy People.
My friend, the psychic hippie, lamented because she had to have a medical test done today that she didn't get to go with her circle of witchy psychic hippies, that they were all traveling up to that are based in Michigan, but she lives here. She was going to go up to Michigan with them, and they were all going to go travel out New York way so that they could go see it, and they were going to go do something. Like a circle and a ritual the totality, and they were going to light candles and they were going to dance around, and I was like, oh dear, I was like, are you going to, I was like, is there going to be nudity? And she goes, I don't know if they're going to be in public or not. and I
they'll be stoned as well.
And I was like, is that the line if you're in public? And she goes, well, there's laws and it's daylight. And I was like, okay.
Maybe not.
She said it so vaguely. She was like, it depends. Who knows? Yeah. She's like, I'm old. I can afford bail. And I'm like,
okay. I used to be immersed in that, the whole new age culture thing. And I really did fall for a lot of that stuff for various reasons of personal inadequacies and dynamics. But if you watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind, I read every UFO book that Steven Spielberg read, and saw every movie that Steven Spielberg saw, and I saw all of that in
I watched that movie probably 17 times.
Okay, it's a good movie. I have wonderful giant hardcover first edition of Cosmos.
Yes, Carl Sagan's Cosmos. And
I have Brian May's book on the stars.
Brian May, as in of Queen?
Yes.
He's an astrophysicist.
He's an astrophysicist, and he's also a rock and roll player.
I know the members of Queen are all very educated.
And he wrote a book, and it's wrote an amazing book, and it's got these amazing 3D pictures in it. He discovered a couple of stars. And he made sure to take some get some amazing pictures in there that you can, and it came with 3D glasses so that you can look at them. And it's a great book. Yeah. I love this. Space is my jam. I love living here because I can go in my front yard and see
rockets taking off and watch them land.
And it's it's fun. Like I got a picture sent to me the other morning going, there was a launch, and I was just like, crap, I didn't know that. And they were like, would you have gotten up? It was at 5 a.m. And I'm like, no, not at 5 a.m. I was like, I'd stay up until like midnight or 1, but I'm not getting up at 5. I would
No, you'll be awakened by the roar of the rockets.
This is a coincidence, but I've just been looking on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, and there's a movie coming out probably already out called Fly Me to the Moon.
I just saw the ad for it.
Oh, is that right? You see, you and me, we're doing something weird here. This is the third time we're doing the same thing at the same time, thinking the same things. It's very, very strange. Anyway, marketing maven Kelly Jones wreaks havoc on launch director Cole Davis's already difficult task. Now, this is about man landing on the moon, but they have a backup plan. Which is, you know, like Area 51 stuff. And it looks like it's going to be a really interesting film. I love this kind of stuff because, you know, it always is a contentious issue. Did man walk on the moon in 1969? And I'm not going to even ask you whether you believe he did or not.
I've had very long conversations with him, and I know his opinion.
Fair enough.
I don't know if you want to open that powder keg. I've had long conversations.
Okay. Well, no.
With you. I've had the conversations with you.
Oh, I know. Over the years, yes.
Yes.
So do you feel different after this eclipse? You know, do you feel like you're growing, as when Harry Met Sally, the movie, the guy says, I feel like I'm growing. Do you feel like you're growing after today?
I feel hyped because I had seen
20 hours, no sleep for 20 hours and 17 beers. Times. Of course you feel hyped.
That's seven Red Bulls and 2 6 packs of beer.
Okay, well, look, I suppose you better go. It's so much fun talking to you guys. I tried to streamline our interviews, but it all turns to hell. I just give up. I just give up in the end.
It's called conversation, Henry, and yeah, we can go a long way.
Yes.
We can go a long way and yet nowhere at all. It's fine. Yes.
That's very like Star Trek.
Kind of, yeah.
Very Star Trek. Dawn Dross is in Florida. Thomas Booker is in San Antonio de Bayar in Texas.
Yeehaw!
And we're all full of beer. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you so much. My this has pleasure. Been absolutely delightful.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio. And we're out, guys. Fly me to the moon, baby.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified. And then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit restless and I dream of something wild.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little
Total eclipse of the heart. 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 We've got you covered.
Take My Breath Away, Berlin, from 1986. Enter Jessica Ann Simpson, an American recording artist, actress, television personality, and fashion designer, whose rise to fame began in 1999. Since that time, Simpson has achieved many recording milestones, starred in several television shows, movies, and commercials, launched a line of hair and beauty products, and designed fragrances, shoes, and handbags for women. She's also dropped a couple of clangers. A couple of worst cover song lists have included Jessica's cover of Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walking. And rightly so, it's pretty awful. But one critic has a different view. I will insist that Jessica Simpson's rendition of Take My Breath Away was far worse than These Boots Are Made for Walking. She took a classic 80s song that is still a staple at high school dances and screeched it to death. So, screech away, sing, Jessica.
Watching every motion in my foolish lover's game. On the surface of ocean, finally lovers know no shame. Time and I return into some secret place inside. Watching in slow motion as you turn around and say, my love, take my breath away. Hesitate.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.